Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Dave Festruck of the Toronto Star. You got the Lakers in town tonight, which should be a big event, but LeBron's not playing.
Why? It sounds like he either had an event that he had to go to in Cleveland last night, or he was taking it deep when he got to Toronto last. It's just like
they're claiming an ankle, but it.
Yeah.
What it is he's old, he played last night, and he's not playing tonight. Like, that's
exactly.
Effectively the Lakers throwing up the white flag saying, we're done, it's a scheduled loss. Like, what I find even more curious, Anthony Davis leaves the game last night with flu-like symptoms, and then by this morning, he's like, I'm not playing tonight.
Like, I know.
You know, you're telling me you weren't going to shut it down for a few hours and wake up and give it a shot?
Just when he tries to turn the trajectory upwards and everybody rave about his play, it's like you're a fraud again.
Yep. See you later.
Exactly. It was amazing. I mean, he really was turning it up there for, you know, that what was the two most recent games he had, 44 and 55, 99 points in two games. Now he's got 100 in the last three because he got 1 point last night before shutting it down with flu-like symptoms.
Dave, so, I don't know if this is ever possible, but it sounds like he was like, I'm going out with LeBron. Like,
Toronto's too good to pass up.
Oh, it's like they either went out in Cleveland or they're doing something. It's
no.
Just, it's crazy.
No, you take the plane. It's a short flight from Cleveland after the game. You're in Toronto by before midnight. Mm-hmm. So you got the world is your oyster in this town at midnight. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Maybe they're on the Danforth with Jack Armstrong last night. Who knows?
That could have been. Oh, yeah. The Danforth.
How'd that go?
A big show for Jack.
It was a resounding success. Everything I've seen, packed house, awesome. He did a great job. Jack was just a phenomenal talent, effectively Sinatra up there. Those are the reviews that I was hearing. Yeah, he did a great job. But this is the problem the NBA has, is we were talking about this yesterday, that LeBron probably just isn't going to play tonight. Like, it's just built in.
Yeah.
He played last night, so what, do you want him to play again?
Like, dude, come on. That's bad for business, man.
It's
come
awful
on.
For business. And it's
terrible.
It's a huge issue for the NBA that this guy gets here. Now, we've been fortunate. We've seen him a ton, right? Like, he's played in Toronto a lot, playoff series.
They called LeBronto for a reason, right?
LeBronto for a reason. He has done damage here in Toronto, and if you missed it up close and personal, that's probably on you more than anyone else because he's played here a ton throughout his career. But the idea that his one-off game here, you knew he was playing in Cleveland. You knew he was going to do that. He had 0 points in the fourth quarter. I think he only attempted one shot. Like, that wasn't a good look for LeBron. 17 rebounds last night. But he didn't have a great night in the fourth. And Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs just blew away from the Lakers. But the idea that it's just built in, like a foregone conclusion, he's not playing and they're just going to concede. Like, that's where if you're the Raptors, you know, I've been saying this all day and I'm being serious. They should win by 20 tonight. Like,
yeah,
Patrick Beverley's not going and Davis isn't going. LeBron's not going. They played last night and they're awful. Like, this should be
they're
a layup.
Terrible without those guys. Yeah.
I remember when this started a couple years ago and they were like going out to Memphis and Cleveland. LeBron was in Cleveland and there was just a Cavaliers like press release. LeBron, Kyrie, and two other guys are just not going on this trip, and they will not be playing in Memphis. And I was like, this is just – imagine Memphis, like everybody buying tickets to go see that show, and they just are not going. That's
not
when it kind of started.
Yeah.
It's bad for business, man. It's bad for business.
Yeah, it is.
It's terrible. You know what? It's terrible for business. I think Golden State, you know, they're the greatest show on earth. Every kid in the world wants to see Steph Curry, right? Like, he's so many kids' favorite player. I know I got a buddy in New Orleans. They've been to New Orleans twice this season, and none of the good players have come either time. You know, it's just like this league is just discrediting itself. And these guys are making so much money now. You know, you got $40 million players. We're going to be having $50 million players and $60 million players in the years to come. And yet they don't play. I mean, it's just dumbfounding.
No, and I think what's going to happen is because Silver is just completely capitulated to the players. Like, he's lost any ability to take a stand. Silver, ever since he took over, because David Stern was ruthless with the players. Like, he was hard on the players and did some things that may have been unnecessary, but he thought they were necessary at the time. The dress code issue was a big issue. That was not a good look for David Stern. But, you know, he forced a dress code into the league. He did a lot of different things where he would have been snapping with what's going on today. And Silver came in and handed a lot of the power to the players. And I think the players have taken him way too far, and I don't think Silver can get the cat back in the bag to the point where what I think he's going to do is retract games. Eventually, he's going to retract games, and I still don't think that'll help. Like, I think they'll go to 72 or even 65 regular season games with a built-in tournament during the season, which is something he's actively seeking out.
What the hell does a built-in tournament do for anybody, man? That's such a joke.
He's trying to take a page out of the European soccer book, you know, and have an FA Cup type of scenario in the NBA that I don't think will play here. I don't
Never.
Think North American fans are going to buy into it. But I, you know, I give him credit for some creativity. Look into it, see if he can make it work. They can, if they can sell it to a TV network, they'll make money off it at a minimum. But he's got to get his house in order, man. Silver's got to get his house in order. He has to.
No, it's beyond a mess. I mean, on top of the fact that guys are resting all the time under dubious circumstances, like, you know, I was talking to one of the guys that tracks injuries, and injuries, legitimate injuries that are being reported, are up a big way too. And we've been talking to, I remember talking to Nick Nurse a couple weeks ago about why that may be, and everybody's got a theory, but nobody has a solution. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these guys aren't staying healthy, and when they are healthy, they're resting. It's an absolute mess. I mean, this, the best solution I've heard, guys, is, you know, make a lot of the awards and titles, like scoring title, rebounding title, all NBA awards, those things should have, A, the points title should be, it's not scoring average, it's just total points. Guy who scores the most points wins the scoring title. And there's some prestige in that, and they might who knows what it would do, but there should be really strict minimums on all NBA, which can affect how much money you make, whether you get the supermax or the max. There's got to be stricter, you know, limits on the number of games you have to play to be included in those awards, because you've had guys.
Do you think guys may want to become billionaires, and all they want is a ring and be billionaires? Do you care about any, do you think they care about any of those incentives? I personally don't.
Well, the one they do care about, O'Doug, is the All-NBA one, because that separates you. Like, it, you know, if you get, if Pascal Siakam gets the All-NBA, you know, he's going to be Supermax in his next extension. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big, big number attached to that particular honor. So if you suddenly say you got to play, I don't know what the number is, but someone's got to come up with it, whether it's 90% of the games, you got to play 72-something games out of the 82.
Okay, Pascal Siakam
All-NBA.
That's a good example, Pascal. But guys that are locked in with big dollars that already have a couple hundred sheets in the bank, they don't
care. Yeah, like, that's difficult, but that's where I'm with you, Dave. I think that is the answer. Like, you tell these guys, you got to be, if you want to be an all-star, you had to play 90% of the games by the time the vote comes in. You know, if you want to be all-NBA, if you want to be up for Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, mandatory 90% of the games.
Yeah,
if not,
something like
sorry.
That.
Yeah, because there's no disputing there are legitimate injuries. But it's very difficult to separate them now because, like, I don't know if Kawhi's legitimately injured. I don't know what the hell Kawhi Leonard's doing or if he's
not
in the mood to play, you know, or doesn't feel 100% so he's not playing, you know. And Kawhi's an outlier because I don't think he cares, although he cares about money. He does care about the contract and, you know, but something's got to give here in the NBA. You can't have a situation like this where the Lakers are like, screw it. LeBron's not going. Street clothes isn't going. Pat Bev's not going. Forget it. Take the win. It's not. I mean, it's just not a good scene. The winter meetings have come and gone, and man, they were active. Like, there was some blockbuster news out there in San Diego, man. Like, there was the DeGrom obviously got done right before the week. Verlander got done. We know how it wrapped up with Aaron Judge going back to the Yankees today. But the Jays were quiet. To get into that, among other things, we're joined now by the manager of the Blue Jays. Here is John Schneider. How you doing, John?
Good. What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Were you out there in San Diego? And if so,
yeah, I'm still out here.
Okay, there you go. You're still out there. What's it like? This is your first time as a skip, just kicking around the winter meetings. What's your experience been like?
It's you know, for as quiet as it has been from a news standpoint, it's very busy. A lot of conversations, a lot of things, you know, being kind of put into place, and plenty of meetings and things like that, but it's been an eventful couple of days for sure, and heading back home tomorrow.
John, what's your kind of role out there as the skip? I mean, I played for some coaches that are like always on their GMs, always wanting more talent. Can you get me this guy? I know this guy is available. What's your role in all this as far as the personnel?
I think just having conversations with Ross and the whole group, you know, we've kind of laid out collectively, I think, what we need to make us better, and You know, my opinion is definitely part of the process that, that gets to where we want to get to. So it's by no means be pounding the table and saying, you know, go get this guy or that guy. But I think it's kind of, you know, there are questions asked, hey, do you like this? Or, hey, do you like that? You know, when asked about a couple things, but it's kind of just sharing information. There's some meetings that I have to do from a, you know, Major League Baseball standpoint to their managers and things like that. But, it is nice to kind of have everyone's input in the same room for a few days in a row.
Well, I'm curious, John, in terms of you tracking the rumors and you know, what's going on out there. And obviously you guys aren't the only team. There's 29 other teams kind of trying to figure this out themselves. How often are you on Twitter, if at all, even if it's a dummy account? Are you talking to media in the hallway and just saying, what's up with Judge? You know, what's going on with Verlander? Like, do you ever find yourself almost as a fan of the game in a way? Because it's such a whirlwind few days out in San Diego.
I mean, you're talking to everyone. Yeah, you have to kind of allot some extra time when you're going from one place to another because you're running into people that you know or people that you played with or people that you work with, and people are asking questions and things like that. You know, we have our own kind of internal chat that we kind of keep each other updated on with some with certain players and things like that, and a lot of agents out here, and they're kind of trying to dig in, they're digging for information as well. So it's a conversation frenzy out here. So it's you're not trying to give away too much, but people are always looking for information.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and obviously you don't want you're not going to be sharing state secrets with us here on the public airwaves, John. But if you could sort of distill, you know, what you maybe learned from this season in Blue Jay land and maybe what it taught you about what you guys need to do to get better and move, you know, further along in your program. You know, can you share a little bit about those insights you've gleaned?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at our team on paper and you look at our season last year, and it was, you know, obviously in the postseason and didn't end the way we wanted to, but we like the team that we have and hopefully, you know, making some additions to make us that much better. But right now, I think where our focus is, you know, you're talking about a team that can score, put up runs, you know, so on the flip side, you're looking at run prevention, you're looking at ways to improve your defense, not just from ads, you know, via free agency or trade, but, you know, ways that we can do it with guys that we already have here. So things like that, you know, trying to iron out exactly where we could have gotten better, you know, from this past year. And I think one of those is base running, it's, you know, as well as defense and taking care of little things. You know, I think a theme that's going to be pretty, you know, pretty consistent from spring training throughout the season is, you know, how do you make your teammates' life easier? So little things like getting them over and getting them in, not trying to be the guy that does it all. We have plenty of talent. So focusing on those things has kind of been, you know, what we've been talking about.
With John Schneider, manager of the Blue Jays, still out there in San Diego. The winter meeting's wrapping up. Ross Atkins has been pretty clear about, you know, the pursuit of help for the back end of the rotation, but also been fairly clear about, you know, the top three guys. And we know who that is, Manoah and Gausman, and, of course, Berríos. And from my standpoint, John, I see Berríos as truly the X factor of whether or not you guys, you know, can get that internal growth, which is strange to say because he's a veteran and he's, you know, he got handed the biggest contract for a starting pitcher in franchise history. But I'm sure you guys have talked about it endlessly since the end of the year. Why do you believe last year was a blip on the radar? Why do you believe Berríos will get it back together?
Well, for one, track record with what he's done over the course of his career, you know, the type of person that he is, the type of worker that he is, you know, the way that he kind of was accountable for his season. He tried to make some adjustments this past year, and they didn't work out for him. You know, he'll be the first to tell you that. And that part is frustrating, you know, when you're an established pitcher and you're trying to make yourself that much better to kind of keep evolving, and it didn't work out, you know, that's frustrating as hell. And he's been hard at work, you know, getting ready for a bounce-back season. And I think just knowing him and knowing how competitive he is and what he's done over the course of his career gives us all the confidence in the world that he'll be, you know, back to the form that he's shown, you know, for over 5, 6, almost 7 years. So he's in a good spot now. We're looking forward to seeing him in spring.
How do you replace the production of Teoscar Hernandez?
Yeah, I think you look at Lourdes Gurriel being healthy with his hamate. You know, there's other ways to score, and I think that we've added kind of some of those guys with Whit Merrifield and Yeah, you could be a little bit more creative when you're running the bases, and I think the rule changes will play into that a little bit. And, you know, we still have a really, really good offensive team between, you know, George, Bo, Vlad, Gerke, Jano, Chappie, I mean, Gurry. I mean, it's there's plenty of damage and plenty of production there, and I think trying to just adjust our approach every night a little bit, adjust how we run the bases, you know, kind of just does that naturally. And, you know, on top of that is, you know, when you're trying to replace run scored, you also have to look at how you're trying to save run scored against you. So that's why I think our focus has been, you know, run prevention, you know, a little bit more so than run production. Addition of Eric Swanson from the Teo trade, you know, we're excited to have him in the back end with Jordy and Jimmy and you know, Simber, Mays, and the whole crew. So those types of things are what we're looking at right now, not just, you know, I don't think right now bringing in one guy to say, okay, here's Teo's stats, and away we go.
John, I was going to ask you about the challenges of this particular offseason beyond personnel with the rule changes that are coming in. You talk about base running, there's going to be bigger bases. You talk about preventing runs, there's going to be limits on the shift. I mean, how much of this is, you know, causing you and your staff to really delve into, you know, the impact of these different rules?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, I just got out of a meeting this morning getting a full thorough rundown on it, you know, with the rest of the managers, and it's going to be different, and it's going to take some adjusting to with the pitch clock and with the number of times you can throw over and, you know, where you're positioned defensively. And I think that teams, you know, ourselves included, are already starting to figure out ways to get a little bit creative with, you know, your personnel within the limits of the new roles. So it's going to be an adjustment period. It's going to, you know, they're going to start enforcing it right when spring training games start, which I think is good for everyone, so you can kind of get a feel for it. But it's going to be different. Yeah, for sure. There's going to be strategies that, you know, you try to stay ahead of, and then you're probably going to see, you know, some adjustments a couple of weeks into the season from teams from, you know, an offensive and a defensive standpoint. But we, like everyone, you know, we're thinking about it. We're getting creative with ways to try to, you know, have a little bit of an advantage. I think in the bigger.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just, the bigger bases is a good thing just for player safety, I think. You know, it's those plays at first base, you know, with the first baseman and a runner and a ball all coming at the same time is great, you know, to have, you know, a little bit more space. And, you know, it's going to promote some extra stolen bases as well.
With Blue Jays manager John Schneider, you guys made a big splash last week bringing in Don Mattingly onto your staff, and we were not bracing for that. I mean, when the rumors started kind of coming out, it was like within hours it was a done deal. And we're all well aware of, you know, Mattingly and his history in the game and his history as a player and a manager. Can you take us through that relationship, your relationship with Mattingly, and how this is going to work, you know, you bringing him into the staff and why you thought that was the right play?
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled to have him, obviously. And I think it was, you know, right place, right time for both us and Don, where, you know, things didn't work out for him in Miami, and, you know, it wasn't like he was chomping at the bit to jump back in between his family and the game. So our situation in Toronto with our team, the excitement, the fan base, the city, you know, the buzz in the building when we're there and we're playing and we're winning was really enticing and exciting for him to talk about. And as we've talked numerous times, you know, and I've known him, you know, briefly from, you know, on the other side of the field, but our conversations, you know, became more and more in depth, became more and more natural. You know, I've been a fan of his since I was a teenager growing up in New Jersey when he was playing. So it's he's going to add such a different, unique dynamic to our staff and to our clubhouse. So it's incredibility with what he's done, like you said, over the course of his career. Probably one of the most humble guys you've ever talked to who's accomplished what he's accomplished. And he's going to have, you know, a little bit of his hand in everything from an offensive standpoint. Accountability, culture, you know, talking to some of the guys. Our players are really excited to get around him and start talking with him about the game and about hitting and about everything. I think it's going to be great for Vladdy from a defensive standpoint at first base with 9 gold gloves on his resume. So Vladdy's got, you know, 8 more to go. And it's, you know, it's someone that's kind of been there and done that for me. So I think to lean on a little bit is a good thing. But when our conversations really started, you know, and talking about, you know, prepping for a game and a series, we really kind of align on a lot of different, you know, things. And as those conversations became more and more, you know, easy and pretty smooth, free and easy, it was a no-brainer.
Can you get him to grow the mustache back?
Yeah, I want him to go stash and eye black every game. And if he can pull that I mean, just opening day, Stash and High Black, that'd be great.
Yes, that's Donnie Baseball. We need it. We need it up here with John Schneider. Obviously, the big news at the winter meetings was something that will indirectly affect you guys a lot over the next 9 years, and that'll be Aaron Judge re-signing in New York with the Yankees. I'm curious, you know, what that experience was like this year when he was as dialed in as he was, game planning for him. Like, what was that like, you know, on a daily basis, knowing we're going to see him four or five times tonight and tomorrow, then the next day, whether it's at the Dome or down at Yankee Stadium? What was that like trying to find a way to stop him this past season?
It wasn't very fun, you know, with what he did. You just always have to be aware of where he's at in the lineup and when he's coming up and how you're going to try to control the guys that are around him. And, you know, I think we as a team did a really good job of that over the course of the year. You know, obviously he hit the tying one at Rogers Center. But I mean, other than that, I thought we handled him pretty well. But for him to have the year that he did, you know, it's a credit to him to put himself in the position he did and get the contract that he got, you know. And I think from a baseball standpoint, people that know him know he's a really good guy too. So from a competitiveness standpoint, you have to be very aware. You have to, you know, pick and choose when you want to say, okay, Aaron, here comes something, or if you want to be a little bit careful and move on to the next guy. But, you know, historical season, so hopefully it's hopefully for us it's an outlier season.
John, before we get you out of here, do you try the old surprise little FaceTime on the odd guy just to sniff around and see what they're at like 8 in the morning or anything like that? It's a veteran move. It's a good move. You got to try it if you haven't.
What are you talking about, Buck? My own players?
Oh, yeah. Just check in, a little FaceTime, see what's up. One of your players, just to kind of check in and do the old coach check.
I do that, yeah. Like, it's like the old school room check when you're on the road, right? It's I keep, you know, pretty good touch with all those guys. There has been a few FaceTimes, just kind of because you want to see him and check in on some things, but more phone calls and texts and things like that. But I'll try to do that before I get out of town here. Just try to just, you know, pick a random person, maybe a free agent, just FaceTime. I get the number and FaceTime them and, you know, give them a pitch to come to Toronto.
Absolutely. Sneak in a FaceTime pitch. I think it's a great idea. You got to use technology, man. Use it whichever way you possibly can. What are you hearing on the upgrades? I mean, there's got to be some nerves, man. That's a big project down at the Rogers Center. Everything moving in the right direction based on what you're hearing or what?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, everything's going according to plan. We're excited to see what it looks like from, playing, just kind of optically what it's going to look like from a bullpen and how the dimensions are going to be and, you know, everything that we're doing kind of inside the clubhouse too. So I know there's a few different phases to it, and, you know, right now everything is on track. I think it's going to be awesome for our fans to kind of be closer to the players, literally, every game there. So looking forward to seeing the finished product after seeing some pictures here lately.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be awesome. Enjoy the final few hours out there, John, and the rest of the offseason. I'm sure we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Yep, you bet. Thank you.
There he is, John Schneider, manager of the Blue Jays. And I like what he said about bringing Mattingly in. And, you know, he's going to have to lean on him, right? Like, he's a very young manager, and Mattingly is as veteran as it gets around baseball. He's been around the game for 40 years. So we'll see.
Not a lot of young guys, I don't think, would have been pulling for that. I don't believe. It's like they like their own space and give me my people, and I don't want that guy looking over me. And they don't generally, if it was in fact him that pushed for that transaction, not a lot of young guys would do that, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm. I like
because there's always going to be that element, right? Like, when you've got a guy of that esteem in the dugout that's managed before, if things go a little sideways for a little while, there's going to be those questions. Like, no doubt.
He's got to bring the mustache and the eye black. He's right. Donnie Baseball. Like, just make it feel like 1987 all over again down at the Rogers Center. Be great. So thanks to John Schneider for joining us. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN will join us. The Lakers are in town, but you may not know it based on who's playing. No LeBron, no Anthony Davis, no Patrick Beverley tonight. We'll tee that up. We'll catch up with Ramona. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Ramona Shelburne will join us here in a moment of ESPN. Lakers in town tonight, and LeBron not playing, Anthony Davis not playing, Patrick Beverley not playing. They lost in Cleveland last night. And, like, Davis, left the game with flu-like symptoms, and then this morning just determined I'm not going. Not playing
tonight.
Dude,
I'm telling you, there was a big night out in some capacity. Somewhere, I just can't put my finger on it, if it was in Cleveland or it was a private jet to T-Dot. I don't know, but it's something's fishy. Well, and you were talking about Silver and what he's going to do about this, Hayes. Like, would he even inquire? Like, would he call the Lakers and say, or would he call LeBron and say, like, what's going on with this? Or
no,
it's just, you better stay away.
He's not going to single out one team because they're all doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, this is the scheduled loss in the NBA, which happens.
Dude, it's nonsense, man. It's garbage for the league. But they, I don't think they care.
No. Well, yeah, the Lakers. You'd think the Lakers would because, you know, they're still on the outside of the playoffs looking in. Like, yes, they've been better recently. They're still below 500, not in the top 10 in the West. Mm-hmm. So, like, the idea of them just saying, ah, we'll give that game up, doesn't seem reasonable.
Doesn't that reflect on what they think of their team, that this year is a lost cause anyway, regardless of where they are in the standings?
Yeah, possibly.
Well, but it's also, guys, it's just like the change in the way, in one generation, you know, it used to be, to your point earlier in the show, Hayes, about, you know, if you had the flu last night in Cleveland, you would come to Toronto in a different generation and say, I'll see how I feel around game time. Maybe I'll feel better. Maybe I won't. But in this era, guys don't do that. They just say, I'm out. I'm definitely out. Like, it's like they err on the side of I'm out almost every time.
That's a long way from guys like Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky. And not everybody can be that. But their idea was, I understand every venue I go to, somebody paid money to watch me perform, and I want to put my best foot forward. And like, that is just like out the window. It's just, I'm not even getting on the bird, let alone checking in on game time. I'm not getting on the bird to go to the city. That's ridiculous, man.
I mean,
that's
that,
utterly ridiculous.
That happens a lot. Like, you look at Jordan in that 97-98 season. That was, I believe that was the 72 win year.
Yeah, he had a loss in Toronto, and they went out till 5 in the morning. But
right.
Guess what? He put his shoes on. He played.
He played 82 games that year. Like, when he came back from that from his retirement, he played 82, 82, 82. He didn't miss a game for 3 years. And he was
amazing.
At the end of his career. They were winning championships. He had Scottie Pippen. He had, you know, and Jordan played. And I'm sorry, that should be included in his legacy, that he played.
Oh, no doubt.
Because guys today, it's just... No, I'm not going. To chat about it, we're joined now by Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. Obviously, we're disappointed up here in Toronto, Ramona, because Davis isn't playing and LeBron's not playing. And is this just a schedule loss? Like, the Lakers are throwing up the white flag and they're saying, we're screwed, we can't win anyway, so we're not playing? Or how do you read this situation?
Seems like it, isn't it? I mean, Patrick Beverley's not playing also.
Right.
You know, although I don't know if that necessarily helps all that much, right? He hasn't been all that great for them this year so far. The thing with Anthony Davis, like, that was bad timing last night, him getting the flu, because he's been on such a tear, you know. And I don't know that either of these guys would have played the second night of this back-to-back anyway. They did play in back-to-back, the other back-to-back they had on the road. I think it was in Washington was the other one they just had. And they did play in that. And so it's not like a scheduled, the Lakers never play the second night of a back-to-back. So it's LeBron has been nursing some stuff. AD obviously got really sick last night. He had 101 fever. You know, I am always careful to say about, if guys should play through sickness, because especially now, like, we don't know with COVID and we don't know how things hit people and my sense is Anthony Davis would play through something if it was, you know, play throughable, because he's been on such a roll. Like, they really wanted to keep that momentum going, and the Cleveland game is always one that he wants to play, especially when Jared Allen was coming back last night. So it just felt like it also kind of looked like he tweaked his lower back. Like, when he first went out in that game, he was grabbing his lower back. And that's been an injury he's had kind of all year. And so I think, like, when you're not feeling right and then you do something that's been a nagging injury. I wasn't surprised he didn't play today, though, because that's a tough back-to-back, man. You know, So it is a tough back-to-back. Loss, as you say.
It is a tough back-to-back. You've talked about a fever, some lower back pain.
Yeah.
But do you think the league, like in general, this overall idea of going to a different city and some guys just saying, I'm not making the trip, not playing, do you think there's ever anything done about that, Ramona?
I don't know what they can do. I mean, I think what they can try to do is just lessen the amount of these back-to-backs or, like, try to make them not bad back-to-back. Like, as far as I'm concerned, like, when you – there's certain cities that I don't think should really try to avoid the team being part of a back-to-back. I don't think it's that big a deal if you have a team play the Lakers and the Clippers two nights in a row. That's fine, right? Even the Lakers and the Warriors, the Lakers and the Suns, Lakers and the Kings, anything in California is not that bad of a back-to-back. When you like cross over, like when you go Lakers, Denver, like that, you know, Denver's a notoriously tough place to have a back to back because you know, the hotel is a long ways from the airport. You're at altitude, like that's a tough one. And crossing to Canada, you got to go through customs. It just takes longer. It's later. It's, you know, I know they're tough back to back. The other day, the Trailblazers had a weird one. They came through L.A. They hosted the Clippers one night. And then played the Lakers in L.A. the next night. I was like, that's kind of a tough back-to-back. And it was a tough game against the Clippers, too. Remember, they had a 20-point lead and blew it in the fourth quarter. I don't know. I don't know if the league can do anything other than try to continue to lessen the amount of these things. There's certain teams. What they do is they work with teams. Like, teams will kind of highlight certain games that it's not always just the back-to-back. Sometimes it's the four games and five nights or six and eight or whatever the timing is, where the sports performance people look at it and say, hey, the injury risk is higher here if you play. They try to talk to teams in advance, you know, to, you almost have to justify sitting out your stars, you know, and that's all they can do, I think.
So, Ramona, you're as tapped into the Lakers as anyone.
Yeah.
You know, they went on this, you know, before tonight's scheduled loss, which we all assume they're going to mail in, they'd won eight of their last 11. You know, Anthony Davis had reemerged as the guy everybody thought he was, you know, a world-class player. And then LeBron, at age 37, suddenly says, hey, maybe this won't be a wasted year. Maybe we can turn this thing around. What's your sense of the level of urgency in the front office in LA to maybe make that long-awaited trade and maybe put a little more into this season given this latest sign of life?
Well, here's what's interesting is, you know, we talk about this long-awaited trade, okay? But what most people think about is a Westbrook trade, right? A trade involving Russell Westbrook because he makes $47 million and that signing hasn't gone as planned for anybody involved. But he's actually played pretty well recently. Like, since they moved into that six-man role, he's kind of done exactly what they wanted him to do most of the whole time. And he's, you know, he had 15 assists off the bench the other night when they beat when they had that win in Washington. He's been pretty good for them. He's kind of not necessarily the problem, right? He'll be playing tonight. You know? I mean, that's partially why they got him, right? This idea that he's durable, he plays hard, he gives you an effort, he gives you a chance to win. And he also makes $47 million, and he comes out, you know, he's coming off the bench. It's a lot to be playing a bench player, but he comes off the books this year. And so that contract, which was hard to move before, now becomes easier in a sort of, you know, it's a contract other teams can use to get contracts that maybe they overspent on or haven't gone well off the books, and that you can get more players for it. Maybe the, you know, it's sort of, you look at it differently in the last year of the contract, right? And so I think if they do anything, it's probably more at the margins rather than a big impact trade for an all-star. I think they need some more shooting. They obviously need some depth. They have the two first-round draft picks in 27 and 29 they could trade, but they also have some players with tradable contracts. I think Kendrick Nunn and his contract could be moved. I think Patrick Beverley's another name you'll probably hear floating around out there. There's just, they have other much smaller things they can do that would change things around and probably be easier to execute. A Westbrook trade, any trade involving a player making $47 million, that's a lot of money to be including in a trade. That means that you have to include other players who are making sizable amounts as well.
With Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, it seems like in the NBA every 6 months there's another superstar that throws their name in the hat for wanting out, you know, of their respective situation and wants to be available. And we know, you know, 6 months ago that was Kevin Durant. That was rectified or he was told you're not going anywhere. And the Nets have seemingly turned things around, really, ever since they fired Steve Nash. They're back in a top six spot in the Eastern Conference. Is that officially over? Like, is the KD conversation, in your opinion, Ramona, is that done? Or could that still come alive at some point?
I don't think that's done. Until you, I mean, look, is it stabilized? Sure. But to me, they're still not thought of as a favorite to win in the East. I mean, would you say they have a better chance to beat the Celtics now than they did last year during the playoffs when they got swept?
I mean, they got a better coach. I will say that. I think, Steve Nash was probably a hindrance, but I don't see them beating Boston four times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them beating Boston four times. I don't see them beating Milwaukee, right? I mean, it's, some of the class of the East. But maybe you could make an argument they can beat Cleveland. I don't know. He wants to win championships. The guy's 34 years old. That was like his message, is that I want to win. And I don't think he gets frustrated that this team they've put together, he doesn't feel like it's a contender. Now, a lot of that rides on how well Ben Simmons develops and comes back around, if he can be Ben Simmons again. A lot of that depends on Seth Curry's health. I think, to me, when I watch the Nets, like, when they have some shooting, when they have Seth Curry as a secondary scorer, they secondary, third, depending on where you want to put him with Kyrie, right? They have, a deeper team and a well-rounded team. But Ben Simmons is the key to everything for them. If he's anything like the guy who made multiple all-star teams and finished second in defensive player of the year voting, then they got a real chance. But if they don't, if he's just, in and out of the lineup, hurt, still kind of finding his game again for a long period of time, like one game he's got, another game he doesn't, they're not going to go too far. So I don't think the Haiti thing is over. I think just, the longer it goes on, the more options teams have, the more other things might shake loose, but it's just quiet for now.
Yeah, it is. It's quieted down. Always great catching up with you, Ramona. We appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, I have such a weird game tonight, but at least you got one of the guys. Westbrook's playing.
Yep. There you go. Westbrook's playing. Siakam's playing. Yeah. That's the guy tonight. Pascal's playing. Yeah, we'll watch that. Thank you, Ramona. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. Raptors, Lakers tonight on TSN. Legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded neonatal intensive care unit, a new state-of-the-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every month for an entire year. We'll come back with our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Tee up again, Raptors, Lakers tonight. Big Thursday nighter tomorrow. I'll be on the clock with that game, feeling pretty good about it going into it. And the World Cup returns on Friday, and the Leafs are back in action with the Kings in town tomorrow as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm going to lay the points. Raptors minus 12.5 tonight. I mean, the Lakers are telling you we're not interested in playing. Like, we're not interested. The Raptors have not been great recently. They've been inconsistent. They're coming off a loss on Monday. They're at home. They're healthy. They got to blow the doors off the Lakers tonight.
By the way, Hayes, I got to tell you, Ramona just described in her last interview a place in sports you don't want to be when talking about the Nets. She said, maybe they can beat Cleveland. It's like, maybe you can be Cleveland is the worst place to be in sports. Yeah. It's just like, it in should be sport. A term. Maybe we could beat Cleveland.
Yeah, you're right. That is the worst. Like, I don't care if it's the Guardians, the Browns, the Cavs.
Yes, yep. Yes.
It doesn't matter.
The Blackhawks, the Capitals. It's like, if you throw out, maybe we could beat Cleveland in a series, you're on a hope and a prayer.
Yeah.
You're not really good, and you're not awful.
It's not good, man. Not good. Not a good scene.
No.
So I'm on the Raptors tonight. I like the Bruins. Like, you got to pay some juice. They're in Colorado. Have you seen the lineup for the Avalanche tonight?
Oh, like, man.
They're missing so many pieces. The Bruins are playing so well. Yes, you got to pay juice. Minus 184 on the road. Cup champs. But I'm on the Bruins tonight. And I like the Oilers big tonight by 2+, laying a little bit of juice at home against Arizona. Where your boy Seymour Skinner is getting the start again. Stuart Skinner, that's 3 games in a row. And this is kind of like what we talked about with Dan Vladar. It's Arizona at home. And it's like, sorry, Jack, you're not getting the layup here against one of the worst teams in the league. We got to win the game.
You know what? So it's been ugly for Jack Campbell, but the one thing I think the guy can do, I think he can rebound. Because he had the little break in Toronto, which is why you don't give a guy a four-year contract that needs a break in the middle of the season. But I think he could have a reset and kind of get it together. I'm hoping.
They better hope.
I don't know, man.
Not a. You guys aren't really backing me on that one.
You might be able to beat Cleveland comment. You know, in the form of a player and trying to pump his tires. It's not good.
Like, what kind of a break does he need, O'Dog? Like a trip to Cancun?
Dude, I don't know, like, man. I love what the guy's all about. He's a sweetheart of a dude. I want him to get back on track. Because if it doesn't, it gets really ugly in Edmonton as well as it does in Toronto. It'll get ugly there. And it's like 4 years left at $5 million per for your goalie and he can't put him in the net against the Arizona Coyotes. That is... Maybe we can beat Cleveland.
Yeah, that's the maybe we can beat Cleveland of contracts right now. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. I'll tell you what is going to be a concern for Jack Campbell is if Stuart Skinner's wheels fall off, if he turns into a kid that's not ready for primetime, because then all the focus will go on the vet who's making $5 million, right? Like it's okay if Skinner shows up and they win and McDavid and Draisaitl are putting up points, but the second Skinner, you know, gives up 5 tonight against Arizona, if that happens,
yeah,
then
Jack
it'll
Campbell
be like,
gets the Michael Myers earphones in his helmet,
yes,
and it'll just be playing 24/7.
It's Halloween music because then it Jack. Guess what, man? You better step up now. We're putting in.
These are the words, Jack. Now you're our guy.
Yep, you're back. You're the guy. Concerning.
Oof.
Could be concerning.
Scary.
Yeah. So
that's Halloween scary.
It is Halloween scary. It absolutely is. So, yeah, you got that game going, and the Leafs are back in action tomorrow with the Kings in town. A team that gave them trouble on that, you know, that first 10-game run. They were out there in L.A. L.A. beat them 4-2, I think, or 5-2. I wonder. I'm thinking Samsonov goes tomorrow. I think Keefe already made that announcement, but like that's going to start coming, right? Like Murray was so good and he got both games on the road, but they're going to go back and forth, and you know they're not going to play Murray into the ground, nor should they. If Samsonov's healthy and available, you got to play him, and he'll go tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think that was like there was 2 games in a row there, but there was 2 days in between those games. They went to the Cowboys game on the Sunday. They had a practice on the next day. So that's about as light of two in a row as you can get.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it'll be likely Samsonov tomorrow, so we'll tee that up. And the Thursday nighter is the NFL. That's going to be a tough one for me tomorrow night because it's Vegas Rams. I don't even know who's playing quarterback for the Rams.
Come on. I'm sorry, dude.
Yes.
You can make your bet or whatever. I'm not even watching that
garbage.
That's
a terrible game.
Dude, that's terrible.
It's a terrible game. The Rams, like Baker Mayfield's been claimed. I don't think he's playing tomorrow. Stafford's done. Aaron Donald's done. It's not good for the Rams. Vegas is actually winning some ball games here. I think they're a 6 or 7 point favorite on the road. Short week against the Rams. So we'll have that pick and more tomorrow. I think Al's brother will join us. Dave, been great catching up with you. Safe travels getting home. Thank you for doing this.
Great seeing you guys.
There he is, Dave Festchuk of the Toronto Star. It's been a fun one. Thanks to everyone for joining us today, everyone for tuning in, TV, radio, web, podcast, whatever it happens to be, everyone behind the scenes. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at...
Top of the evening to you, Wimbledon next year, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.